thank you all for coming out tonight. I think I could have sang for another 21 days. Huh? I could, a lot of residue here from your 21 days of prayer and worship. Praise God. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to have what my mentor, David Horton, used to call a faith clinic. And we used to do these when he would do a campaign and there'd be miracle services at night. And then during the day, we would just teach. He would have either Cherie or one of us, his wife or one of us, teach on faith in the faith clinic. And the idea was just to build people's faith for the night service or whatever. But I mean, no, you always need to build up your faith. Amen. And I want to look at a couple scriptures. I'm just going to quote them here. I'm going to go through them real quick. But you could, if you're taking notes, write them down. In John 11, it's the story of Lazarus. And as Jesus stands before the grave of Lazarus, he says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" How many remember that? "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So here is this notable miracle, a man being raised from the dead. And the Bible says that, my phone's here, thanks. The Bible says that Jesus said that the key to that great miracle, the person who was in the worst situation of anybody that we have record of in the Bible, was that if he believed, if they believed, he said, you would see the glory of God in that situation. In other words, that situation would be turned around. Amen. Then there's John 14:12, where Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, that verily, verily, I say unto you, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." He said it twice. "These works and greater works they will do who believe in me. Whosoever believeth in me, these works and greater works will they do, because I go unto the Father." He says, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And then Mark 11:23-24, which is a famous faith scripture. Jesus says, "Whosoever should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe." Everybody say believe. Basically, it finishes off by saying they shall have whatsoever they sayeth. You will have that. The key to the mountain moving is believing. Everybody say it again. Say believing. So here you have all the works of Jesus, the most difficult person, you know, difficult situation in a human life that Jesus ever dealt with in his earthly ministry, a man dead for 4 days. And you have the moving of a mountain. So like, you know, the biggest nature miracle that you could imagine, basically. So basically, Jesus wanted to start at the top and say, so whatever you need down from there, of course, you could do what was done to the fig tree. In fact, you could move a mountain. So he's saying anything, right? And just like we were singing tonight, that nothing's impossible, and nothing's impossible for him, nothing's impossible for us. But those three scriptures, everything that's covered there, this man raised from the dead after for being dead for 4 days, all the works of Jesus, anything that he did, how he went out and healed the multitudes, the moving of a mountain, he said that all those things are possible for somebody who believes. For all those things are possible by faith. Amen? Now, I've heard a lot of things, and a lot of people in church have a couple, have different ideas about that. And let me back up a little bit. So my mentor, David Horton, and he's, you guys, some of you guys know him. And he was doing a campaign over in Eastern Europe, and he was on his way back, and he was on a layover down in Alabama. And he was in a hotel room, and he was getting ready to fly back to Tulsa, I guess, the next day from Alabama. And he had a visitation from the Lord, and the Lord appeared to him and started to talk to him about how to have a miracle meeting, how to have a campaign, a miracle service. And during this time, I mean, this encounter with the Lord, and thank God for those kinds of things. How many believe that kind of thing could still happen today? I mean, you know, it happened in Bible times. Jesus is the same. Human beings are pretty much the same. Throughout the book of Acts, we see visions and appearances. And we see, you know, Paul had encounters with Jesus. So how many believe that it's still for today, just like it was then? So the Lord appeared to him, and in the midst of all the things he told him, one of the things he said is, he said, the greatest enemy of miracles is human reasoning. Let me say that again. The greatest enemy of miracles is human reasoning. Well, we can say this then. If faith is the key to miracles, then human reasoning is the greatest obstacle to faith. Right? Amen? Because the greatest enemy of miracles, he said, the greatest obstacle, if you will, to miracles is human reasoning. So then if faith is the key to miracles, then the greatest obstacle to faith is human reasoning. Now, what is human reasoning? It's reasoning out a situation based on common or natural human experience. Right? Does that make sense? Human reasoning is reasoning out the situation you're in and kind of predicting the next thing or the outcome based on the average experience in the world. Amen? And why is that an enemy of faith? Because if you're predicting just how your situation's going to turn out, whether it be healing, whether it be whatever you're believing God for, if you need a miracle, and if you put that up against just the natural course of this world, then you're not going to be able to have faith in what God's word says about the situation. And then you're going to short circuit it, right? Faith is the key to miracles, and human reasoning is the greatest enemy to miracles. Human reasoning is the greatest enemy to faith. But praise God, it's something that could be overcome. Everybody say, I could overcome human reasoning. Amen. And there's a lot of different forms it takes, you know. I think, for example, a lot of times that people just think it's just too hard. The situation I'm facing, the thing that I need turned around, it's too hard. And even if they wouldn't say it out of their mouth, it's not just what you say, it's those subtle doubts that try to linger in your mind, you know, that just hang out there, that keep you from being bold and keep you from really claiming with gusto that what the word says, you know, those subtle doubts you have to conquer that just kind of linger there, you know. And sometimes there'll be a subtle doubt that you're just saying, it's just too hard. You know, the devil will come and just this thought, I don't know anybody that this has happened to, or I've had it too long, or, you know, it's just too hard. I think a lot of people, that's what it is. And I'm not talking just your average person in the church. I think all of our false miracle doctrine comes from people who just think, well, it's too hard. And I know that because I sat in Bible school, in what we would call a faith Bible school, that their main claim to fame was faith. And one of my instructors sat there in one of the classes, and he basically told us, tried to kill our faith in the dead being raised. And he sat up there and talked about the embalming process. And he said, you can't just, I mean, they take out the blood and they do this and that. And he talked about how extreme the embalming process was, attempting to squelch anybody who was going to run out and, you know, embarrass them, I guess, at a funeral or something, you know. But I mean, basically talked about, I was so furious because really what is that to God? What is that to God? I don't care. Like, you know, I don't care if they set somebody on fire and there's nothing left from ashes. God can still raise them up because he created man out of dirt the first time. Why couldn't he do it again? Praise God. Everybody say, there's nothing too hard for him. We'll go tilt on some of that stuff, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's human reasoning. That's somehow trying to put your expectation in some kind of a context of what normal human experience is. And usually our faith for miracles or God to do something is a couple notches above what's normal existence here on the earth. If that. Are you hearing me? I've been in situations where, you know, doubt and unbelief is not reasonable. If you understand, if we just get a little revelation of who God is, it's only logical to believe in really astounding great miracles happening. Amen. I mean, if we just get a little glimpse of who God is, the God who created the heavens and the earth, man. I mean, the God who invented us. We didn't invent him. He invented us, right? This whole human idea of what we are, everything we are, the way we function, the way we operate, this earth we live in, this ecosystem, God designed it. He made it from nothing. He created it. He spoke it into existence. He keeps it running. He has carried out a plan for man's redemption throughout the whole thing. He is an incredible God. Amen. When you think about who God really is, you just get a glimpse of it. Of course we could have miracles. Of course, astounding things would happen. The only time you get into trouble is where you try to fit God into the context, like I said, of normal human existence. So I talked about this one instructor. He was talking about how difficult, you know, you just can't see the dead raised. And just, it was weird. It was just surreal to be in there, you know, in that situation. And I thought, well, maybe for us it's difficult, but not for God. And if we can believe God to do it, Jesus said, Lazarus was embalmed. They had embalming back in those days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, that's the kind of thing you would see? You would see the glory of God. And I'd say it as a joke, but at the beginning of every service almost, I'll say, you know, Lazarus, he was dead for 4 days. I look around, none of you are worse off than him. Amen. You're at least 4 days ahead of him, at least. Praise God. But I say that for a reason, because I want people to know that it's whatever they're facing, it's not too hard for God. It's not too hard. And that's one thing that human reasoning will say. It's too hard. I'll have people come to me and ask me questions. Well, have you ever seen anybody healed of this, like the particular thing that they're facing? And I said, well, what's the difference? You know, I'll tell them. Even if I have, I'll share the testimony. But whether I have or not, I'll finish by saying this. But really, what's the difference? I mean, if we saw one person healed of a headache, when you get to spiritual things, what difference is that? You needed God to intervene, a God who's unseen to the natural eye. You needed him to get involved and do what was impossible for man to do and come into that situation. If it was a sore shoulder, if it was a sore knee, and you did nothing more for it than pray in the name of Jesus, and some supernatural force got involved, how is that any different than whatever? If you needed a new arm, or you needed new eyes, or you needed a new kneecap, is it any different? You still need a God that's unseen to come into the situation and do something. Why do we put it in different categories? Why do we put it between hard and easy? Because we think what seems to be the most distant from our natural human experience, we think, well, you know, God, it's hard for God, or it's God's unwilling somehow to do it because it's just so far outside of what our normal experience is. Is this helping anybody tonight? So one of the things human reasoning will tell you, human reasoning will try to say it's too hard. But I want you all to get this thought tonight. Everybody say it's easy. Say divine healing is easy. Say it's easy for me. It's easy for me to believe. I'm a believer. It's not hard for me. I walk in divine health. It's easy for me. Say, miracles are easy for me. It's easy for me to get them, to receive them for myself, in my family, to pray for the sick myself, and help other people. These things are easy for me. Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Isn't that right? Like, right? Yeah, yes. Amen? Easy. Everybody say it again. Say easy. The world will try to tell you it's hard. But everything in Scripture says it's easy. Did you ever see the way Jesus interacted with people? Like when Peter was walking on the water. How many remember the story? And I love that. I guess I identify more with Peter for some reason than any other. I don't know if that's good or bad than any other Bible character. I like Peter. And God has used Peter's stories. I mean, when I like stepped out into ministry to inspire me and speak to me. And the gate beautiful, you know. And the Lord spoke to me a lot through his life. But Peter's there and he sees Jesus walking on the water. And he said, Master, if that's you, bid me come unto you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on the water. He's doing pretty good for a while. And so the Bible tells us he begins to look at the wind and the waves. Isn't that right? And so he gets into human reasoning, doesn't he? He gets into human reasoning. He looks at the wind and the waves. And he starts to think about how things work on this earth, right? He says, I see wind, I see waves. And he starts to doubt what Jesus said. So he's elevating, human reasoning is getting in. And he's elevating that above the words of Jesus. And he's starting to believe in the course of this world and how things work in this world more than he's believing in what Jesus said. And whenever any of us do that, we're going to get into trouble. Isn't that right? And he started to sink, the Bible says. But then Jesus comes and he grabs him by the hand and he lifts him up. And what does Jesus say to him? Now, this is the part I wanted to get to right here. Jesus doesn't say, man, Peter, I understand. That is so hard to walk on water. I mean, I've done it. None of those other guys did it. I mean, you did good. I understand. You know, that was tremendous. Whatever. He didn't say, you know, that's a big deal. You know, I mean, that's a big deal to get out of the boat and walk on water. What did Jesus say? He said, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? He didn't say, I understand, you know, it's hard. He said, why? Why, Peter? Why didn't you just believe? Jesus thought it was well within Peter's capacity just to keep believing and walking on water. In fact, it didn't really make good sense to Jesus that Peter started to sink. This is encouragement to us. Amen. Everybody say, it's easy for me to walk by faith. Because I know we all get it, right? You get this thought and you're thinking, it's so hard. I've thought, has anybody thought it? Man, it's hard. It's not hard. It's easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. So the world will try to tell you, the course of this world will try to tell you it's hard, but it's easy. Jesus never expected it to be hard. The disciples, there was a man and he brought his son to the disciples. And he was demon possessed. That's interesting, just that right there, a total side note, that these people were pretty aware of spiritual things. You know, he didn't just come and say, hey, he just said, hey, my son, the son's got a demon. And he brought him to the disciples to cast him out. The Bible says the disciples tried. They did what they'd done before, and they had some success before. They tried, but they could not cast him out, is what the man said. That wasn't, that was a direct quote from the Father. I brought him to your disciples. They could not cast him out. Actually, they could, but they didn't. Amen? So Jesus says, all right, bring the boy here to me. He casts the demon out of the boy, sets him free. Thank God, aren't you glad that we have authority over demonic forces and forces of darkness? Amen? Sets the boy free. Then afterwards, he's having a private conversation with the disciples. And they said, Master, why could we not cast him out? But I forgot one part, what I wanted to say first. So he says, bring the boy here to me. But when he says, bring the boy here to me, he rebukes the disciples, doesn't he? And he says, you wicked and perverse generation, bring the boy here to me. I forgot that important part. You know, my Lord, that doesn't work in the secret sensitive world of the church today. Start to call people perverse, and wicked. Why did he call them wicked and perverse? Stop and think about that. Did they commit adultery? Did they cheat on their taxes? Why were they wicked and perverse, you know? He said, because they didn't believe. So not only did Jesus know that it was well within their capacity to believe, he didn't see their unbelief as acceptable. He didn't see it as excusable. Amen. Like, hey, it's all right. Man, I know sometimes you come up against these hard cases. I'm telling you, I got to change some of my vocabulary, man. You know, sometimes it's just difficult. Sometimes it's just hard, man. You don't know this was a hard one, and I'm glad I was here to help you out. He said, you all are wicked and perverse. Why didn't you set him free? Praise God. And what was the key to setting him free? The key to setting him free, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. So what he was saying is it was wicked and perverse that they didn't believe. Why was it wicked and perverse? It only would have been wicked and perverse for them not to believe if it was very easy and very possible for them to do it. The only reason it would be wicked is if it was within their power and they didn't. If it was too hard for him to do, he would have been unjust to call him wicked and perverse. Isn't that right? But I'm just saying this, we all get that in the world, man, and the devil and just the way things go, and we get these ideas, it's so hard and it's so difficult. Everybody say it again, say it's easy. Man, if we'll just get that mindset, amen, it's easy. It ain't hard. Oh, no fear, it's just easy. We can just do this. This isn't a hard thing to take care of. What is this to God? What is this to the God who created the heavens and the earth? It's an easy thing for him, praise God. He doesn't break a sweat. When he sees some difficult case, doesn't matter how extreme it is, listen to me. The very worst that this world or the devil can come up with to harm or hinder or destroy a human body, God is infinitely greater to turn it around and restore and bring wholeness. And it's not hard for him. My son Cohen, you guys know Cohen, he's been getting meeting invitations, praise God. He's 11 years old. And, all of a sudden, he started praying for some people. He started praying for his teachers at school, at his Baptist school. And a couple of his teachers got healed, and that was cool. And one of his Baptist teachers said, that is the nicest thing that anybody's ever done for me. That is, it's true. I mean, I guess, think about that. Bringing somebody a healing, miracle-working Jesus, that's really the nicest thing that you could do for somebody, isn't it? And this precious Baptist teacher, older lady, she said, that is the nicest thing that anybody's ever done for me. I just thought it was a unique way to put it. A little different than maybe we would have, right? But it said a lot. So he prayed for these he's been praying, he prayed for these teachers. And so then we were out to eat with some pastors. And she said, hey, the pastor's wife said, do you got any cool testimonies? What's been happening lately? She has a real powerful healing ministry herself. She does it on Facebook, goes out on the street. And just, really a lot of it is like outreach kind of stuff. She'll just go out herself and look for somebody. And she does services too. But she's got a lot of cool testimonies, so we like to swap them. And she asked me, hey, what are some cool testimonies? I shared a couple. But I said, you know, Cohen's got a couple. I said, tell him what's been going on. And he told him about the teachers at school that he prayed for, and they were healed. And one of his buddies at school, they were out there playing football, and he prayed for his knee, and his knee got healed, you know. And so then she said, wow. She said, you know, we're having a conference this summer. Can you come and speak and share your testimonies? I said, well, yeah, I better. I'm going to have to start working my schedule around his, you know. We said, absolutely. Then she asked him, would you come to my Thursday night service and pray for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost? So that was another thing. But I said all that to say this. He's thinking about it, you know. He's thinking about it, and he asked me, Dad, you know, he's a little nervous about this. And he's asking me, Dad, can I do this and stuff? And I'm like, absolutely. So he was praying about it and thinking about it. So he comes to me one day, a couple days ago last week. And he says, you know, I just saw it. He said, all I have to do is pray. It's God who's going to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's good, man. That's spot on, you know. I said, that's awesome, man. That's exactly right. It's God who does it. You see, it's so often we think it's hard because we think it's hard for us, but it's not hard for God. God's the one who fills people with the Holy Ghost. God's the one who moves the mountain. Before Jesus said, speak to the mountain, you don't have to move to the mountain. Jesus said the key was have faith in God. Whosoever should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt their heart, but believe that those things which they say shall come to pass. They shall have whatsoever they say. What are those people? Those people who have the strength and ability to move a mountain? No, the people who believe that there really is a God, and that's easy for him. He said, have faith in God. That's the key to moving mountains. If it's us up against the obstacle, of course it's hard. If it's the God who loves us and backs us up against the sickness, up against the whatever, it's easy. So it's easy. Amen. I know that was really what I saw in praying for the sick in John 14:12, where Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And that's what unlocked it for me. I said, oh, Jesus will do it. Okay, that makes sense. Jesus will do it. I don't know. You know, I can't do any of that stuff, but I know this, nothing can stand against Jesus. Therefore, it becomes easy. Amen? It's easy, praise God. So human reasoning will try to tell you it's hard, but it's not hard. It's easy. Human reasoning, I'll tell you another one, that sometimes when you're walking things out and you see some miracles, human reasoning will try to tell you that you just can't expect it to be common every day. Isn't that right? Like, okay, if the enemy and human reasoning can't keep it from happening at all, then at least it can't be frequent. It has to be infrequent. It can't be everybody every time. It's got to be once in a while. It's a rare occurrence. I think that was a little bit of what Peter probably came up against on the water. He was walking, and it was so illogical because the miracle was already happening. So the question was just, can this really keep happening? Can I keep walking on water, right? I've felt that before. I'm 42 years old now. This month I turned 42. And I've been driving since what, I was 18. I don't remember. Got my first car somewhere around there, over 20 years. I've had cars, several of them. And I praise God, I've never had a car payment. Every car has been a miracle. Everyone. And just, you know, people have handed me keys in places or given me checks or, you know, but I'm telling you, you know, and I've needed it. I've needed every miracle, you know, every step of the way. I don't have time to go into all the car stories tonight, but I'm telling you, I've had that thought. You know, the enemy in the course of this world, you can't expect this just to continue to happen, you know, early on. Like, okay, that was nice. You got a car once, but you can't expect to get every car like that, right? You know what I'm saying? You got to just whatever, do something else. You know, how do you know that you could just keep walking on water? Amen. Yeah, the world will try to tell you, yeah, human reasoning. It can't happen all the time. It just can't keep happening. Laptops is another thing. I don't know. It's one of these things that I've never bought a laptop since I've had computers, you know. I was traveling out when I had a desktop computer, which was also given to me. But desktops don't really travel well. So when I started traveling in the ministry, I really needed a laptop. And I didn't have money to buy one. So I was praying to the Lord. And I said, Father, you know, I was kind of half praying, half complaining. I was like, I need a laptop. I'm out here doing your work. And, you know, I got this desktop computer, you know. And I went to this meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this businessman comes up and he says, listen, if you needed one thing for your ministry, what would it be? And without hesitating for a second, I said, a laptop. He said, I was hoping you wouldn't say that. That's what he said. I was hoping you wouldn't say that. He said, the Lord spoke to me, told me to ask you that question, said your answer would be a laptop. I guess he needed double confirmation, you know. So with the laptop, so then that laptop wore out, and I actually have it on my wall, man, and I stenciled on it, he is the same, you know, that just to remember, he did it once, he'll do it again, amen. So that laptop wore out, and Jocelyn and I, we actually had money to buy a laptop when that laptop wore out, and I said, well, why don't we just believe God, man, why don't we just let him do it, just for the testimony's sake, seems like a waste to go out and buy one, you know, and so we believed God, and then it was just a short amount of time, and somebody got us a laptop for Christmas, never before, never after, and then we got a laptop for Christmas, and it came in the mail. Well, then that laptop wore out. I mean, it was old anyways, and then I stepped on it, and then it's really done, you know, the screen's got the spider web thing. And this is just like, I don't know, last year. And then so I did that. My sister-in-law calls me out of nowhere. And she's never done this either. And she just calls me and she's like, hey, do you need a computer? I was like, yeah, I need a computer. Why? I'm going to get you one. And she sends me like this refurbished MacBook. So I was like, praise God, man. That'll work. Amen. But you know that your mind will try to say, that can't just keep happening. You just can't keep expecting. Why not? Why not? See, if the course of this world will try to say it's hard, or it'll just try to say it's just rare, it's not common, and you can't expect that every day. That's the voice of the course of this world. That's not the voice of Scripture. As far as Jesus was concerned, Peter could have walked on that water. As far as Jesus was concerned, Peter never had to get in a boat again. Amen. Are you with me? Right? Praise God. What would say something different? The course of this world. Amen. The course of this world. With instant healing. And this is a tricky subject. And I'll just take a few minutes on it to talk about it here. But it's tricky because whenever you talk about instant miracles, sometimes people get into condemnation because they're believing God for a progressive miracle. That's never my intention. That's not it. My dad, who has had some amazing testimonies of divine walking in divine health. I've shared some of them. He had a rotator cuff that was hanging on by a thread. Doctors told him he needed surgery. After a year of therapy that didn't help him at all, they said, all right, you definitely need the surgery now. And he said, well, I'm going to consult my other physician. And he just, you know, he was standing on the word during that year, but I guess just something about that surgery just, you know, gave him some extra gusto or something. And he stood on the word, and that was like 10 years ago, and he never had the surgery, and the shoulder works fine. I don't know. It may still be hanging on by a thread, but it works, and it don't hurt, so that's good enough. Amen? So, but it was gradual for him. Not only did he battle through that, the year of therapy, but then after he took the stand, it was, I think he said, a couple months, and it felt a little better, until it didn't bother him anymore. And hey, that's great, isn't it? Praise God. Whatever it takes, it's just good to be healed. Amen. He had a lot of other testimonies like that. When he first, he had post-traumatic stress from Vietnam, would wake up with nightmares and stood on the word and got set free. Had arthritis. He believed, because he had it so young, he had it right after the service. He thought it was from sleeping in rice paddies. And he was, they'd go out on four-day patrols and just sleep out in the rain, no tents or anything. They were just recon, eight guys, and they would go out on, you know, four-day recon patrols, my dad. So they're just out there, man, you know. No tents, no fires, no nothing, so they're out in the rain. If it's raining, you're in it. You just sleep. That's it. That'd be difficult, you know. So he thought he got arthritis and everything pretty young and believed God and gradually got set free from that, you know. But all this stuff happened gradually. Aren't you glad that as long as it happens, that's the most important thing? Amen. But yet, you know, in Jesus' ministry, everybody was healed either instantly or within the hour. And me as an evangelist, I've known that sometimes you need something to happen immediately, because if it doesn't happen in a service and there's lost people there, there's no signs and wonders, you know. If everybody gets healed tomorrow, nobody saw God do anything today, and it kind of eliminates the signs and wonders value, right? So the Lord was speaking to me early on about instant miracles, and I thought about the topic of authority. And if you have authority, and if we have authority in the name of Jesus, why should we go by the devil or sickness's timeline? If we have, just by the definition of authority, shouldn't he go by our timeline? Shouldn't he be on our schedule and not us on his? Shouldn't sickness be on our schedule and not us on sickness's schedule if we have dominion and authority like the Bible says, right? And I'm teaching in Moscow at Rick Renner's Bible school, at his seminary there, and I'm teaching on evangelism, and I'm on signs and wonders for a couple classes, and I'm talking about this, that you need things to happen instantly for there to be signs and wonders if you're preaching to the lost and doing a campaign. And this lady came up to me after the service, and she asked me this question, and she said, why do you think, we see so many gradual healings after you made that case in the Word? Why do you think it's so gradual? And I never said this before, I never thought about it before, but I instantly answered her, and it just kind of came up out of my spirit, you know. And I said, I guess because that is closer to the way things operate in the course of the world. In other words, if you get a cut, it doesn't just disappear, but it does heal, and it heals gradually. Isn't that right? So we're all conditioned to it. So the course of the world is if you get a cold, you get over it gradually, right? If you sprain something, it heals gradually. It heals, but the natural healing process is just gradual. And I think maybe that's why it's easier sometimes just for us to think, okay, it'll happen gradually. It's easier for us to reconcile with that. Does that make sense? The course of this world will kind of do that. But I want you to know, praise God, it could go now. It doesn't have to go gradually. It doesn't have to take a long time. At the command of the name of Jesus, it could go instantly. Amen. Why not tonight? Praise God. I remember there was somebody, you guys would remember maybe her name, the girl who had the skin condition. She was here. It was during the impact meetings, and she had a rash that was up on her neck and went down across the side of her body, and she went to the doctors, teenage girl, she went to the doctors during the meeting. They said she would have it. She'd been to several specialists, and they'd run many tests, and they said she'd have it for the rest of her life. They said, there's nothing we could do. They identified it, and they said, you're just going to have this for the rest of your life. And she came up here, and we prayed for her in Jesus' name. And I just got bold about it. And I said, not only will you not have this for the rest of your life, you will not have this for the rest of today, I said, in Jesus' name. And God did even better than that. And it immediately began to disappear. And within 15 minutes, it was gone. Praise God. Amen. But you see, God could do it just right now. Just right now, amen. Just right now tonight. Can he? And our minds, we want to think, well, it's going to take a while. Natural human reasoning. A lot of people, they'll tell me this. I just prayed for this woman Friday, and I prayed for her, and I said, okay, I don't know what they did to it, but I could see pins coming out of her toes and stuff. And it was you could see them, the ends of her toes and things going in and all. And I said, we're going to pray. And I said, and that pain's going to go. And she said, but it just happened 4 days ago. I said, that's all right. If it just happened 4 days ago, it could go now. Amen. How do you explain? So I don't know. It doesn't matter. But we sometimes want to put God in a box based on our human experience and how things naturally happen. Why don't we just smash the fire out of that box and just believe God to be the God of the Bible, the God who created the heavens and the earth. And amen. And not be conformed to the course of this world. So the course of this world will always try to tell you it's too hard. Always try to tell you it's too hard, it's too difficult. You can't do it. Another thing is sometimes it'll be that it's been there too long, right? Like the idea is that if something has been on this earth for a long time, there's a permanence to it. Or if something has been in your body and it's been that way for a long time, that it can't be changed. That has nothing to do with God. That's just the course of this world. Amen. He prayed for a woman who has been over Jesus for 18 years with the spirit of infirmity. At the Gate Beautiful, they prayed for a man who had never walked in his entire life. And Jesus raised him up and he walked. How long your condition has been like that, it does not matter to God one bit. You just got to overcome it in your mind. And how do you overcome it? You overcome it with the Word. How do you overcome human reasoning? With the Word. What does the Word say? Constantly state what the Word says. We'll close with this. I got a bunch more, but we'll start to minister to people here. Constantly say what the Word says. That's how you fix human reasoning. State what the Word says. Begin to identify doubt and unbelief. What's doubt and unbelief? If the Bible says by Jesus' stripes you're healed, and it's a particular thing. Let's take, for example, let's say maybe it was a breathing condition. And then the thought comes. And you know the heaviness of the emotion that comes with the thought. What if it gets worse? Just identify that thought and immediately resist it and refuse to entertain it in your mind. Just don't think about it. Change the channel. Amen. And then say out loud with your mouth, if you're in a place where you can, say what the word says. No, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. It's not going to get worse. In fact, it's going to go because he bore my sickness and he carried my disease, so I don't have to. And if you'll constant, that's how you overcome human reasoning. That's how you overcome the course of this world. If the thought comes, then you're watching TV, and what happens? You're watching television, and a commercial comes on for some person that has the same kind of breathing condition that you're dealing with, and then it's some medication that might fix it, and they talk about the side effects, or maybe it's some movie you're watching, and it's some person, and they have what you're dealing with, and they died, and then the fear comes, and then the thought comes. Identify it again and say, no. Amen. That's not going to happen to me. That'll never happen to me, because the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Amen. And identify doubt. Everybody say, I can identify doubt. Identify it. Those subtle doubts, those subtle thoughts, that conversation that tries to play out in your mind. Identify it and put a stop to it with the Word of God. And that's how you conquer human reasoning. Amen? It's the same for ministering to the sick. I mean, I'll tell you, the night before my first meeting, on the road that I ever did, I was bombarded with so many thoughts. What are you going to do if nothing happens? Because I'm the guy who was teaching in healing school, you know. I'd prayed for the sick some and seen some things, but it was different. Now I'm not volunteering for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Now it's Jeremy Gall Ministries, and I'm out there on the road. And I told this guy, I'm coming to pray for the sick, you know, coming from Raymond Healing School. And I'm coming to this church I've never been to before. So it was a new step, especially in my mind. And human reasoning is telling me, what are you going to do if nothing happens? Because in the world, no matter what we say about the church and stuff, in the world, your mind is conditioned to think you don't put the palm of your hand on somebody's forehead and then their symptoms instantly leave, right? The course of this world says that doesn't happen. But the Word of God says it does. So I'm up at night, and these thoughts, what are you going to do if nothing happens? And I got to answer these thoughts. You just can't sit there. You can't even just ignore them. You've got to put a stop to them, and you've got to replace them with something. And these thoughts are coming. What are you going to do if nothing happens? No, something has to happen, because Jesus said, whatever I ask in his name, that he will do. Well, that wasn't it. The devil didn't just give up that quick. The human reasoning didn't give up that quick. Said again, no, it's not. What are you going to do if nothing happens? Then what are you going to do? Fear. You know, everything, rising up. What are you going to do? You're going to go in there. You're going to bring reproach. This is going to be the end. You're going to stop before you started. You know, it's just all these thoughts coming. I answered them, continually answered them, laid on the floor, paced the floor, not worrying, but just answering them with the word, putting a stop to the conversation. I don't know, at 3:30 in the morning, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but at 3:30 in the morning, it just broke, and I had peace, and I was just like, all right. And I was just had a peace in my heart that it was done. Amen. And we went the next day, Jocelyn and I, and we prayed for the sick. We saw one guy, he was on disability, and he got set free. 6 months later, he was back to work. Another woman had a lump under her arm. It instantly disappeared. But I'm telling you, the night before, my human reasoning was telling me nothing was going to happen. And I had to answer those thoughts. I had to answer that human reasoning. Amen. Had to say something. What are you going to do? You stand in front of people. Your human reasoning is trying to say, what are you going to do if nothing happens? No, it's going to happen. It has to happen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what he does, and he's here to do it now, and he's here to do it for me. Amen. Praise God. Some kind of symptom comes to your body. Don't respond with human reasoning. Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Respond not out of the spirit of fear, but respond out of the spirit of power and dominion. Amen. Answer every thought with dominion. Answer every symptom with dominion. Answer the doubts in your head. Answer them with a spirit of dominion, because you've got it. Amen. Has this helped anybody tonight? So human reasoning. It's the greatest enemy of miracles, but human reasoning is no match to the Word of God. Amen? It's easy for you to believe. You're a believer. Your nature is to believe. Doubting is a hypocritical act for you, right? You're a believer. That's what you do. That's your nature. Just like a hunting dog, that you know, they just, we have a couple cats, and it's amazing the things that they are born knowing how to do, you know? It's just in them. When you're born again, believing is just in you. That's your nature. That's who you are. Of course it's easy for you. Amen. There's one more I'll say, and then this is it, I promise. This is my second closing, I know, but I won't go do a third. Human reasoning wants to confirm the reality of the word by what you see. It wants to look at things to determine whether the word is true or not. And I used to say, I don't know how to describe it. I used to say, well, you know, it's the same to just that. Well, people, you know, people believe things. I don't know. It's a different. I'm tripping up here, but let me start again, reset. So okay, so people you use faith all the time. It's amazing how people use faith all the time in so many different things, but yet they bring a questioning to the Word of God that they don't bring to other things. And human reasoning wants to look to the world to see if the word is true instead of looking to the word to see what's true in the world. That's why the Bible says walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Look to the word to see what's true about your life. Don't look to the world and your past experiences and your hurts and your symptoms and where have you succeeded and failed to see if the word is true. Well, you know, I know I've done everything to do and I'm trying, but I'm not healed yet, but it's not working. No, it is working. Amen. Because the Bible says you're already healed. Look to see what the word says. Let that be your foundation for truth. And then from that position of truth, you deal with the situation. Amen. Start from the position of believing what the word says. And then from that position of the word is already established. I'm not trying to get the word to come to pass. The word is already established. Now I stand from that position of the word and I take authority over those circumstances and make them line up with what's already real in reality. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for victory over doubt and unbelief. It's just a sin. Like any other, Jesus identified it that way. He called the disciples. He said that it was wicked when they didn't believe what he said. He said it was perverse. And when the spies in the Old Testament came back, Father, you said they came back with a wicked report. And unbelief. Unbelievers have their, you know, anything that's not of faith is sin. But Father, you have given us victory over sin. Therefore, Father, I thank you that every person here in Jesus, they have victory over unbelief. It doesn't have to dominate them. It doesn't have to rule in our minds. But, Father, we can drive it out and we could win over it every time. Because, Father, we are believers and not doubters. Father, we thank you for victory tonight over human reasoning. We thank you for victory over the thoughts that would try to hinder us and keep us from walking in the fullness of what you have for us. Father, we thank you for just unclogging our vessels, Lord, so that your power and your authority can flow through us freely and you could be glorified in our lives to a greater degree than ever before. Father, I thank you that doubt and unbelief, and no matter how much people have battled with it, no matter what areas they need to overcome it, it is no match for the faith-building power of your word. And it is no match for their decision and their when they make a decision to believe. Doubt and unbelief is no match for their choice to believe and to choose to believe. And Father, we thank you that it is in our nature that we have faith. We're not trying to get it, but we have it. And bless God, we are able to use it. And it's easy for us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say this. Say, nothing is impossible for those who believe. So nothing is impossible for me. I'm a believer. This is not pie in the sky. This is not some motivational speech. This is where I live. The just live by faith. I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. And I live by faith. I walk by faith. I triumph by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am a believer. Nothing's impossible for me. Praise God. Amen. Let's thank Him for it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now just let that, hallelujah, you know that spirit of faith, man. Just walk in it. Hallelujah. When you've got a spirit of faith and when it's on you, it just saturates your mind and your words and you have a different stature about you and you face things different. And when things come up in your life, you face them a different way because there's a spirit of faith on you. Amen. You've got faith. Just let it rise up in you and saturate your mind and saturate your words and saturate all that you do. Praise God. It's almost like a cockiness, but it's a good cockiness. It's not a pride and a machismo thing, but it's a cockiness in God, a faith in God. Amen? A confidence that He is who He said He is, and He'll do what He said He would do. You know, sometimes we could fluctuate in faith. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I heard a story just recently on one of his old recorded messages that he's Mr. Faith, right? Raised up off his deathbed and when he was supposed to die at 16 years old. And he talked about later on, he was on the road preaching, and there was a guy who had known him for a long time, and he actually knew him as a child, and then knew him when he was healed, and the testimony. And now this guy was in ministry too, and he was a pastor. And Kenneth Hagin was holding a meeting at his church, and they had had just a bad stretch of meetings, you know. It was just like nothing happening, and kind of a dud, you know. And Brother Hagin was sitting at the table, and he was just kind of complaining about it to this pastor. And, well, I don't know what we could do. Maybe we should shut it down, and people just aren't coming out. And this guy, because he'd known him for a long time, he kind of rebuked him. And he said, you know, the Kenneth Hagin I knew, he would say what the Word says. Amen? He said, the Kenneth Hagin I knew, he would say what the Word says. He wouldn't be saying all these negative circumstances. He'd say what the Word says, and he'd believe God, and he'd get a breakthrough. Brother Hagin said he repented. He went in his room. He sought God, got things straightened out. The next night, the meeting took off, broke out. You know, people started coming. Miracles started happening. So anybody could slip. We all have, right? But bless God, it's not hard to get back on track. It's harder to slip in unbelief because our nature is to believe. That's who we really are. We get off in unbelief. We're acting like somebody else. When we're acting and believing, that's when we're the square peg in the square hole because we are believers. Amen. If there's anybody who'd like prayer here tonight for healing, you could come forward. The Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, certainly if believers lay hands on believers, there's something's got to happen. Amen. Praise God. So if you would like, anybody here like prayer for anything tonight, come forward right now. I'll lay hands on you. Anybody? Yeah, sister, come forward. Good. Amen. Yeah. Just thank you. The Bible says that by faith they obtained a good report. Just put your hands on your stomach. In Jesus' name, Father, we just command everything to be normal. We command everything to be right. Child, be right. In Jesus' name, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. That's the power of God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for life and life more abundantly. We thank you for this testimony. We thank you, Father, that you're working in her body now, and we thank you for the good report for her body. Pregnancy, we thank you for the good report in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise God. Before we close tonight, glory to God. Yeah, Jamel, come on. Father, that the Word says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit inside of him. I thank you, Father God, that greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit in 2017 having a greater influence in his life. to give no place to the devil. But Father, we give place to the Holy Spirit, His helper, His guide. Hallelujah. Brother, I just see, just make yourself open more to the Holy Spirit to give clarity to your mind, clarity to His plan for you, clarity to what He has for you to do. We speak clarity to Jamel's mind in Jesus' name, that he'll know exactly what to do and what to say and where to go. We thank you, Father, that you're guiding his, I just see, brother, Father, you're guiding his steps, and he's walking in the steps that you have for him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brother, lay hands on your mom tonight. Take authority. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Glory to God. Let's thank God for this. It's good to be believers. Amen. Hallelujah. What do believers do? It's easy for them to receive miracles, and it's easy for them to minister to people. I like what Pastor Matt said this morning. It was good. We all need to remember this. And Jocelyn and I work at like not staying in just a service mentality that, well, that's where we pray for the sick in services. Because Jesus ministered to people all the time, right? So, hallelujah. You know, this easy to believe. It's not just easy to believe for miracles for yourself, but it's easy to believe for other people. Easier, probably. You know, you don't feel the pain, right? You don't feel the symptom. It's easy to believe for other people. So as the Lord opens up opportunities, just step out. Mark 16 is talking about you. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You lay hands on the sick, see him recover. Claire had a testimony I heard from a radio station where some guy's back was healed. That was incredible, awesome. Miracles don't just happen under the bright lights of Good News Church. They happen wherever there's a believer, wherever somebody believes. Amen. I'm going to pray a prayer for you, then I'll give it to Pastor Matt. Father, I thank you for these people here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your word that was sown in our hearts. I thank you, Father, that your word, it will not return to you void in us, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to accomplish and prosper in the thing for which you sent it. We'll not just be hearers of the word only, Father, but we'll be doers of the word. And we'll go out, Father, and walk in greater victory over human reasoning and over the course of this world than ever before. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that helps us and rises up inside of us and gives us victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, yes. All right. People on live stream listening. Coleman here. He was here tonight, right? There you are, brother. Yeah. Coleman here. Raise your hand up. Coleman here was healed while watching a live stream. Amen. Your back was healed. Courtney was healed in Pittsburgh as we prayed down here in Augusta. Coleman was healed here in Augusta as we prayed from Atlanta. So wherever you are, praise God, you're not too far. And we're going to pray for people tonight, and we're going to believe God for miracles. There are some people watching who need miracles tonight. Please send us your testimonies. As we pray, we believe that there is no distance in prayer. And as we command in the name of Jesus, we're here using our authority. But Jesus is with you to make you whole in your body. So let's all agree here tonight. Amen. Can we all agree here tonight in this place? Let's agree that God's going to reach out through. There's people watching who need prayer. Father, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, glory, 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 in Jesus' name. Oh, precious Jesus, we thank you for what you said. You said that if we ask anything in your name, if we command anything in your name, you would do it. So right now, in the name of Jesus, whatever sickness and disease is binding these people, we command it to go. We command it to be broken off of their lives. Devil, we take authority over you. Your attacks against these people, we command it broken now in the name of Jesus. We command them to be free. We command them to be loosed in Jesus' name. Ears here in the name of Jesus. Ears open up in Jesus' name. Jesus still opens deaf ears. Ears here now in the name of Jesus. Backs be whole. Knees work properly. Cancer, we take authority over you. Tumors, go in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease of any kind, you're no match for the name of Jesus. You're no match for the name of Jesus. You must give way. You must loose those people now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be loosed. In Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus' name, be healed. Now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it, Father. Now, those of you watching, Jesus always gave people something to do. To the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. To the 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. He told a man who was crippled, rise up and walk. So act your faith. Do something you couldn't do before. Believe the power of God to meet you. If it was your lungs, take a deep breath in the name of Jesus. Lungs be loose. Lungs be free. Breathe deeply now in Jesus' name. And then every person, rejoice and thank God. Thank him that he's heard you. Thank him that he's answered tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anybody watching who doesn't know Jesus, you know, we've seen a lot of testimonies this morning, and over the years we've seen incredible things happen here in this very room that I'm standing in. Jesus has a great plan for you, but he doesn't force it on anybody. The only way that his plan begins for your life is to you to open up and by an act of will say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Take my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me your child. You've got to decide. You've got to open your heart to him. You've got to make a decision. If you've never done that before, I want to pray with you now. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. You just could repeat after me, but you're not praying to me. You're praying to God, and he'll hear you right where you are. If you agree with what I'm saying, you just say what I'm saying. Say it right out of your heart to God. He'll heal you. He'll save you. He'll make you his child. He'll forgive you of your sins. And you can know for certain that if you died tonight or 100 years from now, you'd spend eternity with him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose again from the dead. I believe you're alive tonight. Forgive me of my sins. Take my life. Make it everything you want it to be. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I accept you, and you accept me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that, tell us about it. Tell somebody about it. If you did it for the first time, we'd love to hear about it. You've started a great adventure with God.